Can you put some beers in the fridge? Please?
She ain't gonna do it. That's okay. We'll move on. All right. 3, 2, 1.
What is up? It is the boys back again. Dub Bear Minimum Podcast. Again, Dub Bear Minimum Podcast, not The Bear Minimum Podcast. Jake. Joined here with the boys. Jake's here. Say what's up, Jake.
What's up, everyone?
And Dale's here, too.
Hi, everybody.
And Sam is... Moment of silence for our boy. He's
sick.
That's all. That's yeah, our boy. He'll be here for the next one, guys. So we're running a 3-man weave today. Bears beat the Bengals on the lakefront 20-17. It's been a victory week all week for me. Bears victory Monday rolled into Tuesday, Wednesday. It's victory week all week. Let's do 2 in a row.
I will say, as the certified Bears pessimist on this podcast, I feel pretty good. That was nice. I was not expecting that. I think that's what's good about being the pessimist is when you're down and you know you end the week on top, it's a good feeling.
You're pleasantly surprised.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of optimistic things following that game. Obviously, some areas that you want to look a little harder at as you move forward in the season, but a lot to be happy with, even for me, the second biggest pessimist on this podcast.
I mean, it's hard to feel bad when your favorite team wins.
That's right.
I mean, it's and you can hear the people do it all the time. Yeah, we won, but XYZ. Come on. Take the W for what it is.
Let's be happy for a week before anything else happens again.
Yeah. So, Bears win that game. Guys, it was a pretty... Overall, I mean, it was a pretty exciting game, I would say. I mean, the end kind of... Shook us up
close.
A little bit.
It got close.
Kind of worried a little bit about it, but hey, I mean, we got to see 4 quarters, and I think it was cool to see a different performance from everybody than we saw in week one, because I think we were super down on week one.
Yeah, week one was bad. The Rams really destroyed us, but a lot of positives out of this one. Where are we? I mean, the offense was just, but Dale was right, by the way. Dale had a prediction that Andy Dalton was going to have his best game, and that was because there was only a few of them left. And he
went 9 for 11.
Yeah.
And a touchdown.
For the time he was in, it was his best game.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winning lottery numbers are 56-5-7. Yeah, like he had his best game that he's going to have because he's not starting another game this year.
Right? I agree.
Well,
I think that's...
Jake, don't.
I'm going to do it. He's probably going to start another game. Unless if Justin Fields lights the world on fire coming forward. I just don't believe Matt Nagy is going to bench Andy right now. He's hurt, and so Justin's going to start. But I think if Andy is healthy, he's going to continue to start until we see something drastic.
See, you're starting to sound like Matt Nagy in general.
These are his words.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm saying this out of a place of like despise for him. I'm saying this reluctantly because I don't want that to happen. I want Justin Fields to start, but it fucking Matt.
All right, but how much of this is a dog and pony show because we paid the man $10 million because we told him he was a starting quarterback?
I don't think anything at this point, because even if you guys heard what he said, and everybody has heard it at this point, that the whole scheme. He had to come back and clarify, and this isn't part of the scheme. And no, it's not scheme, it's personnel. But I think what Matt Nagy did there was he gave himself an out if this goes bad. If it goes bad. If Justin is inept, let's say we lose 2 in a row, but if the NFC North continues to be bad and we're sitting there writing, man, then you got to put Andy Dalton back in at least to give your kid a little more time, and he has a fallback blanket. We'll get into quarterbacks a little more, but I think that's the biggest takeaway from this game before we get into the like each individual part is we got our quarterback controversy way sooner than we thought we were going to get it.
Week 2, baby.
Crazy.
And I think to Matt Nagy's credit, in the midst of this quarterback controversy, he's going back to kind of like Bears football. I mean, we had 34 rushing attempts to 24 passes last week. Now, to be fair, Justin Fields scrambled. Well, he had 10 rushing attempts. Some of them were design runs by all means. But Justin Fields scrambling 10 times a game is scary for me.
Yeah.
I don't want him taking those runs.
Oh, he's going to take those runs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that when I see Andy Dalton, or when I see Justin Fields in there, I mean, I want to see offenses designed for his legs, designed to run, move the pocket. But, dude, he's a freak.
Right, but what if those 10 runs only go for 31 yards?
Did you win the game?
You did, and he had big third down runs. I will give you that.
I would tell you his third and 10 at the end of the game sealed it. That was a third down scramble that he made out of nothing.
And stayed in bounds.
And spun out of the tackle before.
It's awesome. It's awesome to see it. I want to see more of it. So if he gets injured, like Jake said it before, you draft him because you're going to play him. You got to play the kid. At this point, you got to play him.
You don't draft the running quarterback to be a pocket
passer. To be a pocket passer. So, what about on the Bengals side? Joe Burrow, I know we talked about it a little bit. I mean, overall, and I don't want to spend too much time on the Bengals because they're the Bengals, but what did you think of Joe Burrow?
I still think he's good. Again, mm-hmm. He hasn't had a full season, so he's in terms of a 16-17 game season, he's still kind of a rookie quarterback. So he's going to make mistakes, like throw three interceptions in a row. But, you know, he also then follows that up with immediately two touchdowns in a row. So,
and, like, bad interceptions.
Well, the Jalen Johnson
one. Two of them were bad.
Yeah.
The Jalen Johnson one was bad. He really stared down that receiver, and Jalen was staring back at him. So yeah. He jumped at immediately.
The Roquan one was pretty bad too. Roquan was just playing over the middle. He makes a good play by all means, but like, if you're standing there, it's not that difficult of a play if you're a professional middle linebacker, yeah. Of course.
But I also think it's a bit of coaching too. Like mm-hmm. When you've thrown two picks in a row, maybe you open the three down set running the ball.
Fuck it, we do it live,
or just keep throwing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I liked what I saw out of Joe Burrow. But I wasn't overly impressed, and I guess that's because the defense was playing well, and when the defense plays well, you shouldn't be impressed with them. But it was just something we talked about. I thought that was pretty cool.
And let's talk more about the defense, but before we move off the Bengals, mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be really good.
I liked all the memes and stuff right before when we talked about it, but I thought it was so funny to see that stuff, and then all of a sudden he just has a great game first Absolutely. Week. Another good week last week.
You're talking about the seeing the ball thing?
Yeah. Seeing the ball. And it's got stripes. And, dude, you took a year off. Like, yeah. what are you talking about? So, I mean, that Bengals team is definitely not the Bengals team that we've seen for years and years. It's better, but it's not anything that I think even going into it we were all in agreement.
Yeah, they've got a little way to go. But yeah, so do we.
And part of that was because they played a good Bears defense last mm-hmm. week. So, a really good Bears defense.
And I think that this Bears defense, when they're on, because now this is a totally different feeling than week one. Week one, we were worried. The defense looked inept. We were worried. Now after this week, hey, yeah, guys like Roquan Smith making tackles. Guys, 9 tackles, 1 sack, a tackle for loss, and pick 6.
Roquan is the key of this defense. Mm-hmm. He is everything we need him to be. I love him so much.
The NFL doesn't love him.
Why not?
They're going to learn this year.
Why do you say that?
Because they didn't put him on the NFL top 100. He wasn't on.
He should have been an All Pro last year.
Should have been. I mean, he
led in tackles for loss.
Above Fred Warner, above Bobby Wagner. If you put their three numbers next to each
was
other,
was he even a Pro Bowl last year? Was he like honorable mention or reserve? I can't even remember.
I can't even remember.
I know he was
Sam.
Stats guy.
So, you had a couple other interceptions on defense. Angelo Blackson, awesome name. Big man, Rumble.
You love to see a 90s number get an interception.
It's always fun.
You always do.
It's just a gift that falls right into their lap.
I loved watching him. Like, he caught the ball, and he's like, oh!
It's just the lineman.
Ball out in front of him, like, running, and someone's wrapped around his waist, can't take him down.
I'm taking you with me! Jalen Johnson also, interception. Jalen Johnson, if I'm going to get a season's worth of this kind of play from Jalen Johnson, sign me up. I'm okay that Kyle Fuller's gone.
And I was pretty pessimistic about it when we first started this, and I had made the comment that Jalen Johnson was a solid number two, but I mean, right now, did I see he's rated highest cornerback rating in Pro Focus right now?
Yeah, PFF has him number one cornerback right now.
And what was that you said, Jake, about
So they named off all of his stats, and one of them was he's only given up 89 yards, but 50 of them were credited to him on one of those bombs that the secondary blew against the Rams game. So for some reason, they credited it with him instead of a safety. So that's kind of questionable. You could say it's down to like 30 yards given in two games.
Frankly, 89 yards in two games, I'm going to take that from the guy who's largely covering the number one receiver on the opposing offense.
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. We didn't hear much of Kendall Vildor's name. You didn't hear much of Duke Shelley's name. Okay, they did kind of.
The Kendall Vildor, which I struggle with that name, there was the Eddie Jackson play. On the bomb to Jamar Chase, where Eddie Jackson and Vildor fucking knock each other off their feet, and he just scoots into the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, that's one play. I think a majority of the game, though, we didn't hear their names too much. You didn't see too much of that stuff. I mean, it's bad when you hear their names constantly. That means they're going at them. That means it's...
I mean, Vildor had 9 tackles, so they were definitely going after him, but there's a pass deflection in there. I'm not seeing catches given, but still, I mean, if he's making the stop, we'll take it for now.
And I think Eddie had a bounce back game. He had the forced fumble was nice. I know he had a tackle for a loss on a big third down play.
And he shot out of a cannon.
Shot out of a corner. Cannon.
Yeah, and he threw the body in there. Yep. We're not used to seeing it.
Joe Mixon.
But we were just talking about shit about him because of that.
Yep, but when he gets in there, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
It goes back to the performances that we get from these guys, it's gonna dictate, you know, especially guys like Kendall Vildor, especially guys like Tashaun Gibson, the guys that aren't the big paid, big money guys. If those guys can perform for us, it's a great time.
Yeah, I think I kind of lost my train of thought here. I think we've seen two extremes with this defense. We saw a very bad defense, and now we've seen a very good defense, so it's kind of up in the air of what they are. Hopefully it's the very good defense we saw against the Bengals, but
if I told you that you had to pick one of the two, where is the defense closer to? Are they closer to the performance that they gave you week one? Are they closer to the performance they gave you week two?
So that is, I think, completely symptomatic of the fact that week one, we played a way better team.
Mm-hmm.
Just be realistic. The Bengals aren't as good as the Chargers are. That's it. So, excuse me, Rams. I said Chargers, but I meant Rams. So, like, it's that simple.
I don't think it's that simple because the Rams made us look foolish and the Bengals made us look like legends. So, I don't know if it's necessarily just that we played a worse team, because even if we were a bad defense, a mediocre to bad team could still make you look foolish if you're a bad defense. But so it's,
well, the final score was 17-20. I mean, it's not like we blew them out by any means. While I agree that the defense played just hands down so much better the second game, the team as a whole is still not, it's the two extremes.
And that's, I feel like we don't have a good gauge. I mean, I think we also might not be allowing ourselves to have a good game.
Week two!
Yeah, rose-colored glasses, you know? So it's, I mean...
And the second, or their last touchdown was a result of that pick that Justin threw. So,
yeah. you gave them
a 15-yard field to score an additional touchdown. So you can't
right really, after the Jamar touchdown.
Can't really put that one on the – yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Jamar touchdown you can put on the defense because they ran into each other and let him run in. But that's besides the fact. So I think we're closer to what we saw on Sunday against the Bengals than we are to what we saw against the Rams. Bad game against the Rams.
I tend to agree with you. I think that that's more than likely. I don't think they're going to be all worldly, but yeah. I think that these guys might be a little closer to what the Bengals kind of performance showed us. So if you had to, let's go defense first. if you had to give defensive grades, let's say, give the defense a grade as a whole, A through F, obviously, standard grading.
It's going to be a B plus. I mean, the stats are friendly to them. They had four sacks, though. It's really three of them. Robert Quinn was gifted with a sack when he had that just inexcusable penalty against Joe Burrow as he went out of bounds. That's technically a sack because Joe Burrow went to the ground.
Joe's getting an Emmy for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He looked like he was smiling.
Joe's
going
getting
down.
A good Emmy.
He stared at him. He stared at him as he was running to the sideline.
He kind of did the little peripheral look just a little nudge. And, dude, he sold it. I mean, that's a veteran move from a young, young guy.
And a young, young guy move from a veteran player in Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
That you're getting paid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the defense as a whole, I think that the pressure that was created forced at least two of those picks. I mean, the Angelo Blackson one was directly a result of pressure. He just got his hands up. But they played so much better getting after the quarterback that it took a lot of pressure off the secondary. And so I'm going B+. I thought they did extremely well. Hopefully let's see more of it.
Jake, what about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. I give it a B+ as well. I thought they were awesome, and there was definitely some mistakes that kept that from, you know, being an A grade. The Jamar Chase touchdown, the Robert Quinn play. Because that ended up resulting in points. They ended up getting into field goal range after that because that was a third down play.
Absolutely.
And that gave them a first down. So we definitely could have – it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better. And I feel a little better after that one.
I think I would give the guys a B, B to B plus. And I think it's probably because of who they were playing and just the expectation that these guys were going to play better. But yeah, you can't deny that these guys had takeaways. We had some. It looked like old Bears football, and it made you excited. And I just need to see a little more productivity. I need to continue to see pass rush and stuff like that. But I mean, we're right around a B. What do you guys think about the fact that we didn't see much of Joe Mixon? We saw him on the field, but he didn't do too much. That I mean, he wasn't lighting it up. And no. that was a big story, I think, for us. We were talking about David Montgomery and that. Joe Mixon, I think they did a good job kind of keeping him under wraps.
Yeah, he didn't break any big plays. He didn't have any touchdowns. He got his. They definitely used him, but we were able to minimize any damage that that would have resulted from that.
Absolutely. And like we said, the front seven last week just played really well, all phases. They were good in pass coverage with the Roquan touchdown. They were good at getting after the quarterback with their, we'll call it four, but we all know what happened there, three sacks. And then on top of that, the run deep played well as well.
Yeah. So let's hope we can stack another good defensive performance there. Unless you guys have anything else on defense, on the offensive side of the ball. I liked what I saw, but you don't know what you saw, I feel like.
What's your grade? I have to know.
Okay, C+. I would say C+. I'm realistic here. I think
that's really fair.
Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
That was so tough.
It was just a dime, too. It hit him right in the chest, and he just let it fall right through his arms.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was the tale of kind of, or two, whatever that stupid expression is.
Tale of two cities,
There you go. Oh, that's J. Cole.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
It's way older than
J. Cole. That's where I know it from my brain, so. Is that a thing?
It's a book.
Yeah, we're just going to move on. Okay. We're good.
Sounds good.
We're here to talk about the Bears, not literature.
I mean,
mirrors on the ceiling.
Offensively,
it's an inside joke. It's an inside joke.
Mirrors on the ceiling. You're a baller. Just a baller. That's you got money.
Anyway, so back to the offense.
Andy Dalton, we said it earlier, 9 of 11, 56 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, it was looking better than the Rams game. Then he gets hurt. Justin comes in, and take me through what you guys thought from kind of the beginning.
I mean, Andy Dalton started well. Justin Fields, his numbers don't reflect what that game
100% agree
game was.
Multiple drops.
Because Darnell Mooney, I think, should have caught that one ball along the sideline. Allen Robinson obviously should have had that ball for a deep touchdown. I think it was like 40 yards.
In a contract year.
Yeah, yeah. So, 15 more games,
yeah,
Allen.
Right. We might be mutually tweeting this now, Allen.
Yeah, yeah. So I liked what I saw. I think if I were to grade them, I'd give them – I might be a little on the – plus side here, but I'll give him a B minus. It was good. Granted, they probably should have scored a little more. Like I said, I thought they should have scored 30 to win this game last week. They didn't do that. Scores. And the defense scored. The defense helped them. So, Roquan Smith, I love you.
Jake, I'm going to ride with you on the defense grade, but I'm going to ride with Marcos on the offense grade. C plus for me as well. They did enough to win the game by all means, but the drops really hurt the offense. And if those two drops, I mean, if either one of those is caught, Justin Fields' line is over 500% or over, 50% completion. He probably has a touchdown in that Allen Robinson play. And I'll take 7 for 13 for 100 and a touchdown from Justin Fields every day.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's obviously a couple things that fall short of giving them the B, but they do enough to get the win. And there's enough to be optimistic about. There really is.
Yeah, I am very optimistic with that in the sense that Nagy has a more balanced offense so far this year. Two games in, David Montgomery is getting the ball. We're running. He had 20 plus touches last game. He had 100 yards against a defense that didn't give up 100 yards last season. It's just better. We're getting first downs. We're not going three and out. It just looks better. We're moving the ball. It's all a positive so far. Nothing outrageous.
The one thing that I will say that concerns me is the lack of, obviously, touchdown production. The one touchdown that was scored on the Allen Robinson play was after the Eli Apple pass interference gift to Marquise Goodwin. Marquise makes a great play on the ball by all means, but without that gift, is that 7 points?
You were talking to yourself from the last 3 years. It's literally, you've had the same conversation probably multiple times because this is the offense that we're used to. So, I mean, 20 points, we know that 20 points isn't sufficient unless you're getting a bunch of defensive scores. You can't really rely on those all the time. But this is the offense that we, at least up to this point in the Matt Nagy era, we've been accustomed to this.
But I will say, I said this last week, we need to throw the ball. As soon as Justin came in, this is what I don't get. I don't understand if Mitch, if Andy, if they're just not confident in throwing it downfield, that they're dinking and dunking everywhere, and, Nagy's on the sideline pissed, telling him to throw it downfield. But Justin comes in, and he's just slinging it everywhere. I just throw the ball downfield. That's what you have to do. And I don't get it. Is it all a gimmick, the other guys, or what?
I think they're part of that is there's a bit of a tight leash on Justin still. He's still a rookie quarterback by all means in the second week of his NFL career, about to make his first NFL start, which we're all absolutely geeked about.
Yeet.
But he had a couple longer throws. The Allen Robinson touchdown was a bomb. They had a couple long throws to Mooney. He's throwing the ball.
So I was watching the broadcast for Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli, and at one point they brought in Brett Favre. And Brett Favre was talking about this play they used to run where he'd have a post go down and across the middle, and there'd be a couple of dump-off passes, checkdowns. And the coach always wanted to throw a checkdown. He's like, well, if you want me to throw a checkdown, stop calling this play because I'm going to throw it over the middle every time. So I just don't get – that's what I don't get. Is it decision-making on Andy and Mitch from the past and they're just not throwing it downfield and Justin is? Or is it just different? I don't know.
And I was a little concerned about that too, and I think I still have some of these concerns, but we're big-time worried about the offensive line. Big-time worried about it. And I was thinking that, hey, we need to get the ball out quick because it's Swiss cheese. Up until this point, the line's played pretty well. I mean, really well. So we should have time back there. You should be able to open this up. I think you're right. I think something has to do with, or when do you look at this and say, is this Matt Nagy's system?
Right. Or is it the quarterbacks? Have
you had three chickens, basically? Exactly. Three cowards back
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
But we saw Nick throw it down the field in Philly a couple years ago. He's not the same arm strength, not the same guy. Mm-hmm. But the system is just...
Time will tell. I can't wait for this next game just to see if Justin continues to do what we saw in the in this previous game.
Yeah. Before we get into next game, I need to tell you to eat shit, by the way.
Jason, please elaborate.
Because Jason Peters.
Jason Peters.
Jason Peters played 100% of the snaps last week, and he graded out as the highest pass blocking left tackle in the league. You know who also is the highest graded right tackle in the league?
Don't tell me.
Jermaine Ifedi.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
So, okay. Can you please tell me what flavor is the Kool-Aid? You've obviously already drank it.
Oh, I don't know. Jason Peters flavor. Yeah.
It's, 38-year-old, 39-year-old flavor.
I mean, I just wanted to throw that one out there. It feels bad to be wrong, but it does feel good to be right. So well, I will take that.
I mean, you were wrong the first game, right the second game. So we'll we'll see how this goes.
Anything else on the offensive side of the ball that you guys want to grade? Coaching real quick with the last game, with the Bengals game.
I think that Nagy's really trying to find a balance here right now. We had obviously more rushing plays and passing plays, but I think a lot of that is a factor of clock management in the fourth quarter.
Give him a grade.
What's that?
Give him a grade.
Give him a grade. There's big plays on defense that helped us win the game, but we won the game. Solid B.
Yeah,
solid B.
I give him a solid B. I don't want to spend much time on him.
I'm right there too.
He did fine. He didn't wow me. His press conference was whack. Let's.
Yeah. So now, then, with that game in the books, we look ahead. So now it's week three, guys. Week three against the Browns. The boys are going to Cleveland. Give the line, Jake, on that game. What is what are we?
Yeah. So go ahead and give me your prediction on what you think the line is. Because when I saw it, my eyes kind of opened up.
Oh.
But go ahead.
So I would think. Probably the Browns are -4.5.
Okay, Dale.
Man, am I wrong?
See, I feel like this is a trap. My gut tells me
it's a trap game.
Yeah, for sure. They can't all be trap games. My gut tells me that it's probably closer to -6.5 or even -7.5, favoring the Browns, but. I feel like you're about to tell me it's Bears plus one.
No, Bears plus one and a half.
I know.
No, it's definitely favoring the Browns. As of Thursday, September 23rd, it's Browns 7.5.
This is the easiest money you could ever make in your whole life. Do you see this happen? Guys,
if you say these words right now, I need to watch you pull your phone out and put your money where your mouth is.
Okay.
Zero hesitation on his part.
I'll do it. I'm not worried. I worry for the boys because of who the Cleveland Browns defense is. I don't necessarily think I'm as afraid of the offense, especially no Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham coming back from the ACL injury. It's a little different on the offensive side, but that defense, got some boys. They got some players.
It's a scary defense. I mean, their pass rush right now is incredible. Mm-hmm. Isn't it Jadeveon Clowney's on the other side right now, Myles Garrett?
Injury report, Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys see their injury report for...
It's deep.
Oh, it's 2 pages. I won't go through all of it.
Give me top players. So.
Okay, so Odell Beckham, starter. He was a full participant. He's going to play, at least it sounds like. Joe Bitonio, starter. Back, he was limited. Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, starter, limited with a knee. Jack Conklin, starting tackle, limited with a knee. Chris Hubbard, another tackle, triceps, didn't even practice. Trying to think anybody else on this list. They got a bunch of guys on here.
Limited is not out, to be fair, but you'd really like your probably top 3 tackles to practice, right?
Yeah, I would say. So, we'll see what happens with the injury stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that that's exactly going to be the end-all, be-all, but we've got our own injury report stuff, too, so.
Yeah, they're... Their offense, I mean, granted, okay, so they're without Jarvis Landry. They're getting Odell back, but they still have Nick Chubb, who I'm...
Top 5 rusher.
He's the best running back we're going to face so far.
I agree.
Out of the first 3 games. So that's going to be a big-time test for the defense. Baker Mayfield is dynamic. He's a wild card. He wakes up feeling dangerous every morning. We'll see what they bring. Obviously, you guys said the defense is scary, but
even the offense. I mean, you are right. Kareem Hunt is also backing up Nick Chubb. They do have arguably the best offensive line when healthy in the NFL,
and they have three pretty strong tight ends.
Oh yeah.
And Baker Mayfield is playing really, really well right now. He's completing over 80% of his passes.
And is he really? For like,
oh, yeah, 82% of his passes.
He's slinging it.
Over 530 yards so far. Oh. And I don't know if we have 530 yards of offense so far.
Probably not.
I can tell you we probably don't.
No, we definitely don't.
Yeah.
But anyway, that'll be an interesting game. Bears, if we stick with Bears plus 7.5. Are you taking that or leaving it?
I would say I'm taking it. To cover the number.
To cover the number.
To cover the number, I'd take. I don't think they're going to be outright winners. I think that this game is a little too much. But
you think they lose to the Browns but cover the spread?
Sure. Yeah,
I think they beat the Browns.
You think the Bears beat the Browns?
Here's the thing.
Ooh.
The Browns. Here's the thing. The Browns' offense, like we said, they're playing. Baker's playing well, but like if we have that defense from last week, they won't be able to score either. Like, the Browns aren't that much. I don't think they have the same weapons that the Chargers have in terms of receiving options. So I think there's a chance we win here. I think they cover, absolutely.
Who's their other wide receiver? Obviously, we know Landry and Beckham, but who?
The tight end and Joku.
Well,
he's leading the team in receiving right now.
Yeah, but Hooper was the number one target last week. The tight end thing is going to
rotate. Oh, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh, okay.
Who?
Donovan Peoples-Jones, Odell, and then they got Rashard Higgins, too.
Harrison Bryant and Anthony Schwartz.
Their tight ends is going to be hot hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can't predict which one's going to go off per week because they're all monsters. They're big boys.
Yeah. I mean, on the Bears side of things, obviously the most exciting thing about the entire upcoming game is the fact that we will see Justin Fields make his first NFL start in Ohio. Pretty cool. So Justin's going to get to start Andy Dalton out with a bone bruise.
What they called it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bone bruise. And I didn't know.
In his knee or his ankle?
In his knee.
Okay.
I didn't know that you could get bone bruises on non-contact injuries, but it makes sense. The bone kind of bangs against each other.
Collapse in on each other.
They say it's not a surgery. It's just rest.
Oh, it just hurts.
It's like, it's a couple weeks of recovery.
Yeah.
Again, we might have seen Andy Dalton's last start because Justin's getting in.
Which, by the way, just to quickly reference back, I did predict that this would be Andy Dalton's best game, which 9-for-11 and a tutty was his best game so far. And again, Justin Fields should be our starter the rest of the season.
If you want to take credit for that Andy Dalton win, you could put it on the fridge. We'll print it for you.
I got magnets. You send it on over.
So, what are you guys looking at? Like, I'll tell you one thing. I want to see more than anything. Obviously, I want to see Justin Fields start, so we get that. Yay. I want to see how Matt Nagy does having a week of scheming, of game planning. I want to see how this goes because I want to see an offense tailored to a mobile quarterback. I don't want to see the offense that you put in for statue Andy Dalton. I want to see pockets moving. I want to see run plays. That's what I would like to see going into this game.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see, just to see Justin Fields and what we can do with I know it's only been half a game, but it's just so exciting to see what tools he has. Because I don't remember feeling this about Mitch. Like, I was excited when Mitch came in, but
oh, we had not seen
it. We haven't seen anything like this.
And that's the cool part. Like, we've been watching Justin Fields play football now for a couple years.
Yeah.
So, like, we knew
who.
And win at the highest level.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I didn't watch Mitch play in North Carolina.
I didn't watch much Tar Heel football. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't know anything about it. Anything was better than Mike Glennon at the time. But the buzz that you have seen and people have for Justin Fields up to this point, I mean, it's electric.
Yeah. Obviously he has some jitters or some, because he had those two or three offensive false starts, which you never see a quarterback make a false start. So I don't know what the communication problem was there with getting the snap off. I don't know if who, like, if it's between.
Oh, it's Justin.
Between the two of them.
It's Justin.
Well, after the third time, you have to think that that's Justin.
And also, it's on him to not expect the ball to come and move before it's coming, mm-hmm. you know? Even if the snap's not right, you see I've seen other pro quarterbacks calling for the ball and it's not coming, but they're not stepping back like it the ball and drawing a false start. So there's definitely rookie jitters. And that's just going to have – that's why he should be starting since game one, is just to get this shit ironed out. We already know he's good, and he's probably better than Andy.
He's better than Andy.
Just let him play.
Well, and that's – I don't want anybody to misconstrue or anybody to think that, like, even if Justin Fields didn't play a game this year, he's still going to have those growing pains. You're still going to have those jitters. So regardless, we're going to see the growing pains. We're going to see the weird false starts. We're going to see the ugly interceptions. It's stuff that he's got to figure out on the fly. But, I mean, I'd rather see it now, let him go through it, and we figure out for sure what we've got.
And throw the ball downfield. Go crazy.
Let's do it. So moving on, our favorite segment. You're not that guy.
Ooh.
You're not that guy.
Okay.
Marcos, start us off.
Spicy. We should bleep out his last name. So Sam Beep. But Sam, you know, Sam, you're a little sick. We're sending you some love, but with the love, we're gonna send you a big fat old "You're not that guy."
You're not that guy, bud.
Not that guy, pal.
Dale.
So my "You're not that guy" is Matt Nagy right now, not for any coaching purposes, but how he's handling this whole Justin Andy thing without trying to tell us who his starting quarterback's going to be. Andy's quote-unquote hurt, but he was ready to come back in the game, but he's hurt, so he's not the starting quarterback. But when he is healthy, he is.
He did try to come back in the game. He came back in, it's like, for a series.
So I'll give you that. Is he active for next game then? Or is Nick Foles activated as a backup quarterback?
I think Nick Foles, because I don't think Andy Dalton right now cannot play.
Yeah, Foles will be the
two. Foles will be the two. Do you guys know who the emergency quarterback is on the Bears?
Oh, yeah.
Monty.
How cool is that?
Dude, I kind of wish that it happened.
Just do it.
Like, I don't want Justin to get hurt, but I just want to see like a wild card or a wildcat offense with Monty at the helm.
And Williams next to him.
Big Gato.
Big Gato.
That's a big El Gato.
Jake.
Not that guy is it's still Aaron Rodgers. Fuck you. Fuck you, Aaron. I thought you were in this with us, just tanking the Packers, but I guess not. And also, not that guy because I still don't believe, okay? That game wasn't him. That Aaron Jones had a dead dad, okay? It's a dead dad game.
Oh, like the Brett Favre dead dad game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He scored 3 touchdowns.
Four.
Fuck me.
Can I give an honorable mention not that guy?
We'll take this as Sam's pick.
Okay, Sam goes with Sam McKinney. Zach Wilson, did you guys watch some of the Patriots game?
Oh, did you see the kid tear them apart?
Oh, guys, it's Zach Wilson, and those are the rookie growing pains that, you know, every rookie quarterback's going to go through. But some of those interceptions were terrible.
Did you watch that breakdown I sent?
Yeah, the kid.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny. He's like, you got these two guys over here looking at each other like, who are you blocking? I don't know. Who are you blocking?
Dude, such a New Yorker 12-year-old.
That can also, kick Corey Davis has no hops.
That was brutal. So that is not that guy.
So next, we win if. We talked about the Browns. We talked about the concerns and what we think might work for the Bears. What's the key to victory? We win if. Jake.
We win if. Fuck, man, the Browns. We win if we can hold Nick Chubb to sub 100 yards. That guy scares me.
It's going to be a long day if he gets over 100 yards. Because they get moving. That opens up play action for those guys.
Exactly.
And then they got a fresh guy coming back.
And Baker can run too. Don't sleep on his wheels.
Whew.
Marcos?
We win if we have one turnover or less on the offensive side of the ball.
I like that.
I'll take a fumble. I'll take a rookie interception. But you can't be giving away freebies, especially with a defense as good as the one that we're going to see on Sunday. Dale, what are you thinking?
So I'm actually going to stick with the same one I had last week, which really I think was the key to victory. If your front seven plays like they did last week, you get pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Roquan dominates the middle. Though they did give up some slants over the middle, but still. If you can get that pressure from the front seven, and in turn, like Jake said, I don't know if you keep the dual threat running backs under 100, 125 yards, but if you can at least slow them down, you give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, since you mentioned it, the 5 yard, the 10 yard, the completions, it reminds you of the Vic Fangio offense. Reminds you of the bend, don't break, let them get down the field.
Defense,
that's what I meant. The Vic Fangio defense, you know, you bend, you don't break, you give them a little bit. Red zone defense, stop them, hold them.
Yep.
Threes, not sevens.
Yep. And your defense, if you're doing that, will prevent threes as well in the process.
Yep. Yep. But first and foremost, it's the Justin Fields game.
Justin Fields.
I'm so excited.
We're still paying Jimmy Graham $9 million. I don't think he's done a single thing yet.
I haven't seen anything from either of the tight ends. I mean, Cole Kmet's
one catch for 0 yards, I think.
I get it. I get it. It's a whole season, so we'll judge them at the end of the season. But obviously, the hot takes in the week by week, I would like to see a little more from those guys.
I will take the 20-plus touches to the running back. And if that comes at the cost of not seeing the tight end make a play.
I'm okay with that. So, we can run in the red zone now.
The balance is better.
So, guys, that's going to be a wrap for this week. We'll see.
One more. Sorry, thought of.
Oh.
The offensive line played so well last week, and we didn't spend any time talking about that, really. But if they can do that again. But if they can do that again, then you take out most of the scary factor of the Browns.
I mean, we've always said it that everybody always says that football is won in the trenches, and we just haven't had an offensive line for the last several years.
Since there was guys named Olin Krutz on it.
It's just been bad. So they had a great game last week, and we won. Maybe that's truly the key to winning, is just them being good. So we'll see.
So, guys, I hope you have a great, great football Sunday. Hope we're watching the Bears get a victory over the Cleveland Brownies. We will be back again next week. Our boy Sam will be back with us. Socials, stuff's getting put out. We are going to get links posted here. Should be on Spotify here pretty soon. SoundCloud, we're on there as well. Please share.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. That's a thing, right?
It's a thing.
Leave a comment.
Please, talk to people about it. But guys, like I said, we are super excited to do this, and we can't wait to see you next week. Bear down, boys.
Bear down.
Bear down.